Moving on to item number 20.
From the interim director, Department of Health and Human Services, requesting authorization to undertake position and other actions to reduce critical and persistent vacancies and increase the retention rate in key psychiatry and psychology positions at the Behavioral Health Division. This item was also referred to the committees on Finance and Audit and Personnel.
Okay. This report actually goes back to last year when the department was bringing forth recommended step increases for psychiatrists and psychologists. There was questions and a number of concerns about that. We also had some issues around overtime that was being performed by a number of the physicians at BHD. And we committed to really doing a comprehensive report that took a look at our vacancies, you know, what kind of challenges we have in terms of retaining psychiatry and psychology. And we had originally began working with HR and an outside group that could do an analysis of other communities and other competitors. Unfortunately, that they weren't able to assist us, but we have some internal staff very dedicated and committed to, you know, telling our story about our challenges here. In fact, Dr. Riggle, the chief psychologist at BHD, has been telling us the challenges and difficulties in attracting staff, and we finally kind of did a comprehensive look at other competitors. We know that there's a challenge in recruiting not only psychologists but psychiatrists throughout the United States. And we also know that because we have another similar facility here in the area, which is the VA, we are in competition for the same staff with them. We really looked at their salary structure, the types of benefits they have. We looked at what Milwaukee County is offering, and we have some very specific recommendations in this report and feel that this will also help us in terms of lowering our overtime, because we have and we do have docs that work additional shifts because we have vacancies, and we also wanted to address and talk about the challenges in just actual recruiting at BHD, and we feel some of these recommendations will go a long way to help us address that. Dr. Riggle is here, and Dr. Harding, and would you like to make some comments, Dr. Harding, on this topic?
This is an initiative that we've been hesitant to bring before the board for obvious reasons. This is something that is difficult to ask, especially in this economic time. The problems have been, though, persistently in the 8 years that I've been back, I've never been at full staffing. In fact, I've often been at 50% staffing in my inpatient services. I have lost 5 inpatient medical service directors in the 8 years that I've been back. They've been recruited by other institutions paying higher salaries, giving sign-on bonuses, and offering a workload that's substantially less. If we are to move forward with the quality improvement initiatives, I need dedicated staff who are state-of-the-art, who are able to really bring us up to that level of practice that you all want us to have, and I fully support. We have had difficulty maintaining numbers, especially on the inpatient services, again, where the care is so critical. I have physicians right now at 1 to 24 ratios with patients, and the standard at the VA would be 1 to 8. So there are critical needs issues. We are well behind the VA in terms of base pay. We're well behind the state of Illinois. I recently lost my inpatient medical services director, who was in a director's role, to the state of Illinois, who recruited her back, and as a staff psychiatrist, she's probably making about $26,000 more than I was able to pay her at the top step. The sad fact about it is that most psychiatrists currently in practice are in my age range, and we're getting older, and the schools are not turning them out, so the critical shortages will continue, if not worsen. And I respect this is a very difficult ask, and we put off asking, but since I've been back again, my role has been at least 50% of the time covering direct service lines when I don't have physicians to cover. I know Dr. Riggle has had similar struggles with psychology, so maybe she could talk to those.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I can really leave. I was here in December, so I spoke with some people who were also on personnel. And first of all, I want to thank you very much for the time, the attention, the resources that you've invested in the services for our consumers and the community. So thank you for that. Secondly, I just want to say that the initiatives that we have going on right now, which include the mixed gender unit study and implementation of those recommendations, trauma-informed care, electronic medical record, joint commission training of peer support specialists, the mental health redesign task force, all of these groups that are working groups are populated by the medical staff leaders, and we have a small group that's currently serving on most of those work groups and committees, and each of these endeavors involves the need to both have staff in these positions for the planning, but especially for the implementation. So I appreciate the investment in the infrastructure that's already been done, and we need to also invest in the infrastructure of our staff. And I heartily believe that the mental health consumers, if you ask, do they want accessible, competent, available, consistent doctors, they would say a resounding yes. We all know what it's like to try to get in to see someone because we have a current need, and to hear we don't have any openings for weeks. And these vacancies result in delays in service. So these are, to answer your question, Supervisor Mayo, this doesn't involve layoffs. It does involve staff who generate revenue. 100% of them are revenue generators. And I just believe these are critical services. When I started this request last August, I had a 22% vacancy in my department. And I lost several people to competitors, and I just simply wasn't even in the ballpark. The last time the psychology department asked for a review was when I was hired in the early 90s, and it wasn't approved at that time. So one of the reasons it looks like such a larger increase for psychology than psychiatrists, we have not asked for this. Well, we asked 20 years ago. It wasn't approved, and we've just fallen more and more behind. And we have a good staff now. I just filled 4 vacancies, and that was unfortunately for the state because of some of the closures at Ethan Allen and Southern Oaks. And I also did hire someone not licensed yet who requires supervision, but he's very good and will be a great addition. At the same time, 70% of my department is eligible to retire. And it's very important in our field for the new people to be trained by the people who have worked in this area specialty. And in psychology, it's like every other medical field, we have specialists. So I'm the same people who might want to go work for the state, they're forensic psychologists. That's not who I'm going to be looking for. I'm going to be looking for people who the VA is looking for with a certain type of mental health need. So we have to recruit specifically for the right kind of staff, especially if we're doing specialty programming like we're looking at on some of the units with trauma-informed care. We can't just take anyone who's willing to work for us. The last thing I'll say is that when I started, we had a lot of other incentives, the benefits, et cetera, and that was attractive to new people. That's not there anymore. The other change is that since I was in school, and I won't say how long ago that was, the new people coming out have about $160,000 in debt. And, you know, having young families, these are not greedy people saying, I want to make $1 million. You can see, you know, jokes about doctors charging $150 an hour. I'm paying at about $25 an hour to someone who went to school for 12 years after high school and did internships. And so these aren't people saying, I want more money. The other thing, as Dr. Harding said, is it's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy to have these vacancies because the new people who come on to do one job, and then someone leaves, and we go, can you cover this unit and this unit? Can you work nights too? And it's a recipe for burnout, and we really want to stop the cycle, and this would really go a long way toward that. Thank you.
Questions?
All right. I have Supervisors Mail, Biddle, and Jerson.
Okay. Of course, I'm moving forward. But I'm looking at the highest scale for 62. Most people going out of college, they're looking for more. And how are you going to compete with everyone else who are looking to for the dollar amount and plus benefits, plus looking at bonus of salaries? We need the individuals here to give you an opportunity, since you do generate revenue. That's why I'm happy to do that. So we can get reimbursed, so we can that they actually work to put their own salary. But how are you going to make that work?
Well, we look for the candidates who do have a basic, a bottom line financially, but who also are really interested and trained specifically to work with people in our population. But it's only about 3-4% of psychologists who end up being employed in a setting like ours. Most of them are in private practice or other institutions or teaching. So we start with a genuine desire on the part of people for this work, but then they narrow it down to what are my choices in this field, the VA, Waukesha, et cetera, and then they start looking at the money. So it's a combination of genuine desire to do this kind of work and having it be competitive enough. They're not necessarily going to only weigh the best salary, but they're not, if it's a $30,000 difference plus sign-on bonuses and everything else, that gets harder for them to weigh the other things they'd like to consider.
Are you becoming a training facility for people who come in and say, oh, by the way, I'm going to learn this, but I'm telling you I don't want the money.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Mm-hmm.
We have been a training facility for the psychology internship national program and psychiatry residency and medical students since I've been there since the 70s. Our internship program, which we had for over 26 years, was a source of new hires, and we voluntarily placed that on hold about 6 years ago because we didn't have enough staff to supervise the trainees, and they have very strict supervision requirements. I have requests almost weekly, Dr. Harding and I, for students from many programs in Milwaukee, and I have to say no, and it really hurts me to say no because it's a great training institution. So we do a little bit of it, but we have to comply with all the regulations for supervision requirements. So that's another reason we want to be fully staffed. I'd love to bring the internship back.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love to say yes to all these students.
Supervisor Mayor, if I may also comment on this. We've always had an agreement with the Medical College of Wisconsin to train residents. That's how I came through the program. I trained at Milwaukee County PhD and really found my home with this population in the center. I left in 1997, went away to North Carolina for a period of time, but came back in 2003. And in that time, we lost our training program on the inpatient services. I believe it was a loss for the community because psychiatrists never got this level of acuity as part of their training. And so they aren't comfortable treating the types of patients that we treat. So when I came back, we very actively advocated and do now have a training unit on 4-3-D for psychiatrists and medical students. And we do, even if we can't recruit them after graduation because of other things, I feel much more comfortable knowing they're familiar with this type of patient and they understand how to treat. And so whatever center they go to, they will carry that knowledge with them. So the other piece, though, that we're always kind of getting dinged by the medical college on is we are the only non-joint commission accredited facility in their training program, and that is one of their ACGME requirements that all training facilities
be joint
commission accredited, and we've always had this little dance with them, and it's gone back and forth. So I'm very grateful for the prior vote on the other resolution. But yes, we want to provide that training because we have an excellent facility to train new people. And a lot of the trainees do stay on, but unfortunately, some of them do find greener pastures with better salaries, sign-on bonuses.
Thank you.
Under 12. All right, Supervisor Biddle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That type of information would have been helpful in the previous agenda item. I might have voted for it if you would have told me something like that. But
you can always change.
Right, you can. On board day, but pretty much, I think that I read this, and even though that is a big ask, I think that on the priority list, this is is pretty much high priority to make sure that we have these key positions staffed so we can not only provide services, but as my colleague said, also generate revenue. So I'm happy to support this. What I would commend you on saying is that there's a belief, some of my colleagues, that we don't have a problem attracting quality talent to our jobs here in the county and service and needs. And so it was good to hear that there actually is a need to attract brighter talent here. And so because we have an agenda item on the Finance and Personnel Committee, like domestic partner benefits, and I'd be remiss as a co-sponsor if I didn't speak on it, that this is the type of thing that we're talking about where we can actually use this to attract talent, because we used to have those benefits that would be a magnet for this talent, and we no longer have those because of these draconian measures that were taken out to cut benefits and punish workers. So it's good to hear that, and it really, in my opinion, it confirms the belief that what we're doing is the right thing. So I'd be remiss if I didn't say that, Madam Chair, but I'd be very happy to support this. I think this is needed.
Thank you. Supervisor Jason.
Thank you. I just want to point out that this is not just brand new this month. This has had a long history. When I was chair of personnel, we initiated a study.
Absolutely.
This is a real need. And, you know, there's been a real disservice by talk radio and others who just across the board suggest that county workers are overpaid as if they're all in the same, you know, basket. Mm-hmm. And we've already heard the comment that it was some of the benefits that would attract these highly trained individuals who would be taking less pay. We now have lost that carrot, if you will. We had it with the nurses. We are paying less than market rate for nurses, and we had a problem with recruitment and huge overtime. Mm-hmm. You're going to see the same kind of issues with regard to all of the psychiatric salary comparisons, and we actually had Acting Director Richards bring in some outside consultation to get these ranges. There's been a lot of study done on this, and I believe Supervisor Mayo moved approval, correct? I wanted to make sure that was done, but this has been a long-term process. I think we need to get some information out to our constituents that it's not true that we're overpaying people here, especially at these highly trained levels. And we are actually doing a disservice now with some of these benefit cuts because we can no longer attract the kind of people that we once attracted. And I strongly support this and just want to give the complete overview that this has been studied by many committees, and we've done some really good work on this, and I think we have probably gotten as much information as we can possibly get to get these ranges. And I just, as long as we're on this topic, I'm going to thank Jerry Lede and apologize to her for some of the earlier news stories. Had we had an HR department that did proper interviews and also separation interviews with folks that are leaving, we wouldn't be punishing our department heads with some very negative stories. We have such needs in HR department. We need to fill that director, and we shouldn't be putting our acting directors and our staff in the kind of position that she was placed in this month. And the sooner we can get that HR department and follow through on that long-range strategic plan for redesign and to get some updated HR procedures and succession planning and exit interviews and all those things that we should be doing with HR, the better we'll be. But thank you, Ms. Lede, for your efforts. And I want to thank everyone that's here for participating in this program. Let's get this passed. Thank you.
All right. Wonderful. And is there any further comments or questions from committee?
Thank you.
Seeing none, I do have a motion for approval by Supervisor Mayo. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Biddle.
Aye.
Mayo.
Aye.
Rice.
Aye.
Jersey.
Aye.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Madam Chair.
Aye.
7 ayes, 0 noes. The motion is approved.
Thank you.
Item number 21.